So if you've ever had a creative idea you wanted to share with the world, maybe a film, a new video game, or even, a big new ad campaign, you very quickly run into these quiet, powerful organizations, the ones that stand between your vision and the public. We're talking about the gatekeepers.
And these aren't just bureaucrats stamping forms, not at all. These organizations really define the whole playing field.
The parameters of what's acceptable, what's safe.
What's honest? And for this deep dive, we've gone through your source material on four really critical UK regulatory bodies. Our mission is basically to cut through the noise and synthesize the roles of the ASA, Ofcom, the BBFC, and PGI.
And why should you care about this? Because these four acronyms, they don't just put stickers on a box. They fundamentally dictate the financial and the creative viability of almost every piece of content you see in the UK.
Understanding them isn't optional for creators. It's essential.
So where do we start?
I think we have to start with content classification. It's probably the most visible part of media control.
Right, the age ratings.
Exactly. The ratings that decide who can buy or watch something. And here we need to look at the two titans in this space. That's the BBFC for film and video, and PGIS for games.
Okay, let's take the BBFC first, the British Board of Film Classification. We all think of them for cinema releases, but their remit is actually much, much broader.
Oh, yeah. It covers films, sure, but also broadcast TV content, music videos, and now, increasingly, streamed content and even physical media like DVDs.
And their main job?
Their core function is to assign those age ratings that restrict access. And this isn't just about, labeling. It's about safeguarding vulnerable audiences for
Yeah.
material they decide is harmful or inappropriate.
It's all built around the public interest, following these guidelines that get reviewed all the time.
And the ratings themselves are the shorthand we all know.
UPG 12, 12A, 15, and 18.
And the sources really highlight the 12A. That's such a specific, almost unique rating.
Right, because it allows someone younger than 12 to see a 12-rated film, but only if they're with an adult.
And that 12A is a perfect example of how regulation drives commercial decisions.
How so?
Well, if a filmmaker is making a big blockbuster, something for a mass audience, they're often aiming squarely for that PG or 12A classification.
Because if they push it into 15 or 18 territory,
You immediately cut off a huge part of your potential audience.
and your box office potential.
Exactly. And the classification isn't just about how much violence is on screen. It's about the tone, the context of it, or the complexity of the themes.
So the BBFC rating itself almost becomes a creative constraint. A director has to pull their punches just to make sure they hit that rating.
Precisely. Now, how does that compare when we shift over to gaming, to the world of interactive media?
That's where PAGI comes in, the Pan-European Game Information System.
Right. It operates across Europe, but it's the standard used in the UK for rating games.
And the PAGI system it's similar to the BBFC, but its structure is really tailored for the fact that games are interactive.
Their age ratings are different, for a start. 3, 7, 12, 16, and 18.
They start younger, which makes sense for kids' games. But the real difference is those little symbols they use, right?
That's what's so fascinating. PDA doesn't just give you an age. They use these content descriptors, these little pictures, that tell you why the game got that rating.
So, violence, bad language, drugs.
Fear, gambling, suggestive themes, all of it. It gives parents and consumers this really granular detail that the film rating system doesn't always have, at least not in such an obvious, easy-to-read format.
So when a game developer submits their game, they aren't just getting a yes or no for a 12-year-old.
No, they're getting specific feedback.
Like, this is rated 16, and it's specifically because of the pervasive drug use. That's a huge difference in how you market and sell it.
It connects the rating directly to the risk.
Yeah.
It's more than just an age bracket. And that difference in their scales, the BBFC's 12A for cinema, which PDA doesn't have, it just shows how regulation has to be custom fit to the medium.
That's actually a great segue. We've talked about classifying fixed content films, games, but what about the live flowing world of broadcasting and advertising?
Now we get to our second pair of regulatory giants.
Ofcom and the ASA.
Let's tackle the powerhouse first. Ofcom, the Office of Communications. Unlike the BBFC, which is mostly reactive, Ofcom is this pervasive watchdog for the entire ecosystem.
Everything. Broadcasting, telecoms, the lot.
And their role is administrative and strategic, not just policing. They issue the actual licenses that allow broadcasters to even operate.
So holding an Ofcom license is basically an agreement to play by their rules.
A massive range of rules, yeah. from ensuring impartiality in news to protecting the public from harmful or offensive stuff that goes out over the airwaves. They're constantly monitoring for compliance. They're the guardians of the standards.
So if a TV station broadcasts a segment that's really biased, or a radio host uses offensive language,
it's Ofcom that investigates. And it's Ofcom that can bring down the hammer with sanctions.
End that threat. We're talking big fines, or even losing your license to broadcast.
That's what ensures compliance. Their power is systemic. They regulate how communication happens, not just what is said.
Okay, let's shift to the money side of media then. The Advertising Standards Authority, the ASA.
Right, the ASA manages ad content across all media, print, broadcast, online.
And their whole mandate is about making sure advertising is, what is it? Legal, decent, honest, and truthful.
Those four criteria. They're there to stop deception, to make sure products aren't exaggerated, and to maintain some level of public trust in advertising.
But this is where it gets really interesting because of how it's set up. The source material points out that the ASA is paid for by the ad industry itself.
Yeah, it operates through self-regulation and co-regulation.
Which immediately raises a big question about accountability, doesn't it?
It does. How can a regulator be strict when it's funded by the businesses it regulates? But the model exists because the industry knows if it doesn't regulate itself effectively, the government will step in with something much stricter.
So the ASA is a buffer, but how does its power actually work? Is it reactive?
It's heavily reliant on complaints from the public. If you see an ad you think is misleading or offensive, you complain to the ASA and they investigate.
And their power doesn't come from the government?
No, it comes from industry agreements. If the ASA rules that an ad breaches the code, it has to be withdrawn instantly. And because broadcasters and platforms like Google and Facebook have agreed to follow ASA rulings, that ad is effectively banned. It can't be published or broadcast again.
The incentive to comply must be huge. You don't just lose the money you spend on the campaign.
You risk major reputational damage if the ASA makes a big public ruling against you. It's this strange but effective mechanism. Peer pressure, but backed by contracts.
Accountability through collective risk.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've laid out the mandates for all four, but knowing the rules is just one part of it. Let's talk about the real-world impact. What happens when producers try to push the boundaries or just ignore the rules? What are the stakes?
The stakes are, well, they're the viability of the project itself. These organizations influence content decisions right from the scripting stage. If you're writing a TV drama, you're constantly thinking about tone and subject matter in relation to Ofcom and BBFC standards.
It's not just about being ethical. It's a hard financial calculation.
Absolutely. If your film gets an 18 certificate instead of the 15 you were aiming for, or your TV show gets hit with sanctions from Ofcom.
Your whole distribution model, your audience, your profit, it's all instantly damaged.
And it's critical to remember this is a proactive thing. You have to submit your film or game for approval before it's released. You can't just put it out there and hope for the best.
And for broadcasting and ads, that constant monitoring means you're under scrutiny from the second your content goes live.
So what are the actual consequences? What can these bodies really do?
For a start, major financial fines from Ofcom. We're talking tens, even hundreds of thousands of pounds.
For classified content, it can mean content removal. The entire work can be pulled from distribution.
And for advertising, an ASA ruling is effectively an industry-wide ban. That ad will never be seen again. It just proves that understanding regulation is central to successful production, not just some legal afterthought.
It's the cost of entry to the market.
Okay.
So collectively, you have these four bodies: ASA for adverts, Ofcom for broadcast, BBFC for film, and PIGI for games. Together, they manage risk and ensure a baseline of standards across these incredibly diverse industries.
So what does this all mean for you, whether you're a consumer or someone working in the industry? It means the ability to produce and share media responsibly is completely tied to understanding the system. These rules aren't just hurdles to jump over.
No, they are the landscape. They define the whole territory.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it brings up a really fascinating tension.
Go on.
We established that needing to comply with specific age ratings like the BBFC's U, PG, 12, and so on, it forces certain creative choices. So to what extent does this drive for compliance, for hitting that big commercial sweet spot, unintentionally standardize or even limit the creative risks that media producers take, especially when they're targeting a mass audience?
That's the crucial balancing act, isn't it? Protection versus creative freedom. A tension that, hopefully, you now have a full context to understand.
And that wraps up this deep dive into media regulation and classification.
We'll see you next time.